front of you and express on your behalf our great appreciation for CFX. Not all of their members are here today, but for those who are here, we especially appreciate you leading us in worship. They do such a wonderful, wonderful job. Also want to thank ahead of time those who will be helping serve communion. We'll have a young man who's using his gifts for God's glory, and we're proud of him, Aiden Schreiner. And he's at the back with his father right now. They're both serving behind the scenes. Aiden will be helping out our lay leader, Conley, and myself. And let's see, who else is there? Oh, yeah, Ray Martin. I don't want to leave him out. Ray Martin, who's here with his precious two sisters. So I want to thank all persons who serve. Some are visible and out front. A lot are behind the scenes. Our scripture is from the first chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 5. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the time he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, this is the season when I think a lot of gift buying is going on for different reasons, for great celebrations. As I mentioned, we're celebrating graduation Sunday next Sunday. Polly and I have been looking for cards and thinking of things that we could give some of our graduating seniors. And then we've been invited, Polly and I, to a special baptism at another church where we're going to serve as godparents. And I've been studying up on that. But we're preparing to bring a gift for the family for the special baptism. And then as I look on my calendar, I see that this is the time of the year where a lot of weddings take place. And for weddings, we like to present a gift. I've been invited to officiate at my niece's wedding in Texas this coming September. She serves in the Army. She's at Fort Hood, Texas. I'm so excited about that. That'll be in September the 10th. And, of course, we'll be presenting her with a present. There's just something special about presenting someone that we love with a present. You see, when we give a present or a gift, we're not only expressing our love, but in a very real way, we're giving a part of ourself. When you receive a gift, you find out how much you're loved by someone else, your value to them. And you sense that a gift is especially meaningful to you when that gift meets a need in your life or a desire in your life, and when somehow or another the giver is a part of that gift, and that the gift really in essence is a token presence of the giver. Let me give you an example of that. Many years ago, back in 1991, my uncle, Uncle English, Ed English, who lived in Jamestown, North Carolina, died. Before he died, he was busy in his workshop. He had cancer. It was terminal. We all knew it was terminal. We had plenty enough time to do and say the things that really matter. And what are they? They're the I am with you, and they are the I love yous. So we were gifted to have the gift of time called now to do and say the things that really matter. But on one of my visits with him, he said, "William, I made something for you, so that you can remember me. Now, Uncle Ed was a wonderful man. He didn't say a whole lot. But when he did say something, it was worth remembering. And the things that he did were just unbelievable, the things that he made. Now, this isn't something fantastic. What this is a little case in which you can put a roll of stamps in, and you close it up, and then anytime you need a stamp, you pull it back and pull it out. Now, I don't have a roll of stamps right now. I get these sheets. But I always keep this on my desk at home, and from time to time, I look up, and I go, Uncle Ed gave this gift. And the reason I've always kept it, even though I don't really use it, is because it's an extension of himself. He is a part of the gifts. He expressed his love to me. Do you know that before he died, he made something special for everyone in the family? And in a very quiet way, he just presented it to them. That's what makes a gift special. It reminds me of the story, a true story. I may have the details not exactly right. But a person was on the mission field in a foreign country. And as they were preparing to leave to go back home, one of the natives wanted to present this missionary with a gift. Wanted a very special gift to give this missionary. And so when they were saying their goodbyes, this native of the island brought a gift. And the missionary opened it up, and it was this bowl. It was a beautiful bowl. And the missionary knew right then that you don't get these kinds of bowls from around there. Not where he was. And certainly not where those natives were. And so he said to the native, thank you. Thank you. Can you tell me where you got this bowl? He said, yes. And he named a city. And the city was 150 miles away. And he said to the native, why, that place is 150 miles away. He said, I know. I walked there and I got it and I brought it back. And the missionary said, that was a lot of walking. 300 miles. And the native said, the walking is a part of the gift. The walking, the making, the special thoughtfulness is a part of the gift that makes the giver inseparable from the gift. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. That God has a gift for all of us. In the first chapter of Acts, you remember the verse in which Jesus is alluding to where he talks about there is a promise. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait there until the promise of the Father. The Father had promised to give the people a gift, and the gift was the Holy Spirit. And today we're talking about the Holy Spirit along these lines. First of all, the Holy Spirit is God's gift to us, to all of us. On the Pentecost day, it was the gift to the church. But we also acknowledge it's the gift for all of us as a part of the body of Christ here to now, today. And the gift of God that was given to the church and the gift that is given to us is nothing less than the gift of God's self. The gift of God's self in the here and now, loving us and at work in our lives and in the life in the world around us. You know, I hear so often the phrase, in the here and now. That's the kind of God that we have. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, meaning that He is with us in the here and now, loving us and at work in our life and in the world around us. We're beginning a series today called The Holy Spirit. You'll see it listed in the bulletin with the services to follow. I'm basically taking this book by Trevor Hudson, who's a United Methodist pastor in South Africa, Trevor Hudson, Holy Spirit Here and Now, put together a couple of messages that I hope will be helpful to us. But Trevor Hudson says that, unfortunately, when we mention the Holy Spirit, we get all kinds of different responses. And rightfully so, because we've all had different kinds of experiences. To some people, to hear the word Holy Spirit is to immediately think, well, you know, that's out of my ballpark. I really don't understand that. You really have to be a scholar of the Bible. You really have to be into it. And you know what? I'm kind of intimidated by the people who just expound on the Holy Spirit and expound on the Holy Spirit. And it seems like, well, you know, they just know all about the Holy Spirit. And so I don't deal with it. And then, unfortunately, there are those experiences where people claim to have received the Holy Spirit, and they're convinced that their job is to pound it into you. And we have a bad experience. And, you know, I remember back in the 70s where a lot of talk was, I got it, do you have it? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit doesn't manipulate us. The Holy Spirit comes as a guest to take residence in us. And so some people have been hurt by their experience and with other people who have talked about the Holy Spirit, but also have improperly used that knowledge or lack of knowledge thereof. But here's something that I believe is true about every one of you. Here's something that's true about me. Here's something I think is true about every person I meet, whether they can verbally acknowledge it or not. But all of us, especially these days, are hungry for a closer experience with God. We're not so much hungry for more talk about God. We've heard a lot about God. It's helpful. But what we're really hungry for, and what you may have come for today, is not the talk about God, but the experience of God. You long for something deeper. There's a hunger within you. There is that part of you that cries out saying, God, I'm hungry to know you. I'm hungry to experience you in the here and now in my life, ordinary as it may be. And that's why Trevor Hudson wrote this book, because he believes it, first of all, to be God's gift to all persons. It is something, the Holy Spirit is a gift of God's grace, which is at work in our lives, whether we know it or not, from the very beginning. It's a work of grace that's involved in the totality of our life. You know, too often we restrict talk about the Holy Spirit to the day of Pentecost, where the Spirit came and then the people talked in other languages, and then we get sidetracked into this discussion about glossolalia or speaking in tongues, which is a reality. But there's more to it than that. And the more to it has to do with the fact that God has created us for relationship with Him. And the Holy Spirit woos us to that relationship and helps us to experience God's love in the here and now in real ways. Have there ever been moments in your life? I asked the children, perhaps they're a little too young, but have there ever been moments in your life, and maybe you weren't even looking for it, but you had a moment of grace in which you experienced an overwhelming sense of joy. Even though you may have been in a time of suffering, there was a sense that you were not alone, that God was with you, and that God loved you, and it was going to be all right, even if it got worse first. I was laying flat on my back for 6 weeks with a back injury. And from time to time, it was overwhelming. But I'll never forget the time I just said, I'm going to lie on the floor, prop my feet up, and I'm going to open the window. And I think it was the fall of the year, I'm not sure. But as I opened that window and I laid on the bed, a gush of wind came in, quite appropriate. And it just swept over my face, and I felt cool and relaxed. And then this feeling came over me, you know, William, it's all going to pass. It's all going to pass. You can trust me. Now, it was fleeting, but we have those moments. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. Trevor Hudson says that rather than merely talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, third person of the Trinity and how the the Holy Spirit relates to the God the Father and God the Son and all that. I could do that. But what Trevor Hudson suggests that we do is talk more about what is it that the Holy Spirit does. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit does is it brings us to an awareness to the God who is always with us, whether we know it or not. Awakens us to experience of God. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does is it draws us into a deeper shared relationship with Him and with others in the body of Christ, in the community of faith. And then also the third thing that the Holy Spirit helps us with is the Holy Spirit helps guide us in our decision making, helps guide us in the discernment that we make about the course of our life, the decisions that we have to make. The Holy Spirit works in us to perfect us in love, works within us to help us to deal with temptations. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in as a gentleman, but the Holy Spirit will clean up everything in my life that I permit the Holy Spirit to clean up. And so the junk goes, and there's house cleaning in my soul. And the inner transformation, which happens over time, is the work of the Holy Spirit. There's another thing that the Holy Spirit does, and we'll talk about this in the series. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray when we know not how to pray. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with words too deep for us to say, intercedes with groanings that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit also does this. Holy Spirit leads us into the desert. Now, that's a metaphor for meaning those times when we're pulled apart from life and we're alone with God. And so often we're impatient. We're going, what is this waiting I'm doing? I want to get on with the program. But you find yourself in the wilderness of waiting, perhaps trying to sort out what to do with your life. But you see, before God ever does a work through us, He does a work within us. Before Jesus did His ministry, He was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted, to be tested, to be refined, to be prepared. Rather than just go out and start doing stuff, He was led away to spend solitude with God, to be absolutely convinced that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit helps us to witness in the right way, to be able to share with others. I like that scripture. Always be ready to give an account for the hope that is within you. And the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to give our witness. Then the last thing that He talks about in this book, and I really like this because I don't think it gets mentioned very much. And perhaps we're uneasy about this, and perhaps we don't really like it. But you know what? This is important because this is where the real work of God gets done in this world. The Holy Spirit engages us with the suffering of this world. Somehow or another, the Holy Spirit doesn't say, get away from that place or get away from those people. There's suffering going on. No, the Holy Spirit goes, you're going to go there because you're going to be a means of grace and a means of healing. And you will have to have solidarity with the poor. You will have to have solidarity with those who are suffering. And you know what? You can't do it on your own. But with the Holy Spirit, you can. And thank God for the people who have allowed the Holy Spirit to lead them to the hard places of life. Sometimes all we really got to do is show up. So we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. One thing I really like about this book, as a matter of fact, I've ordered several copies. They'll be available hopefully next week if you like one. I really like Trevor Hudson. He's a United Methodist minister in South Africa. He was there during apartheid. He helped in the movement to overcome that, did many other things. He's a funny guy. He really is. The first story he talks about in here about the Holy Spirit, I'll tell it to you really quick, okay? As he talks about, the Holy Spirit is the gift that fits you. It's God's special gift that fits you. And he talks about the time he was coming back from a mission trip. He wanted to get a gift for his wife. And he knew that she liked this particular dress, so he stopped at this particular store where he thought that dress was. He found that dress, and he says, I'm going to buy the dress. She's going to love it because she's been wanting this dress. And then he thought to himself, I don't know what size she wears. So he went up to the clerk and said, I want to get this dress for my wife, but I don't know what size she wears. And the clerk said, well, how tall is she? This is getting into dangerous territory. But anyway, he said, well, about my height, and what about weight? Well, lesser than me, but so forth. Do you have any idea at all what size she wears, sir? No, I don't, but hey, I got an idea. Would you let me try this dress on? She said, if you want to do it, help yourself. So he took the dress, went back to the dressing room, put the dress on, looked in the mirror, and still had the guts to come out. And he came out. And by then, the clerk told everybody else in the store, there's this minister from South Africa who just got a dress. You got to see this. He's coming out right now. So he came out, had the dress on, and he says, I'll take it. It fits just right. And what he was talking about was he wanted to make sure it fit his wife. And he took it to her. And of course, Polly says, would you do that for me? I said, tell me what your dress size is. I'll write it down. But that's who Trevor Hudson is. He's a neat guy. And in the book, he has a little prayer. He says, as you go through this series, as you go through this study, here's a little prayer for you. It's in the bulletin. Spirit of God, Lord and giver of life, moving between us and around like wind or water or fire, breathe into us your freshness that we may awake. Cleanse our vision that we may see you more clearly. Kindle our senses that we may feel you more sharply. And give us courage to live as you would have us live through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now that prayer is a little long, so I'm not trying to suggest that you memorize it, but perhaps you could cut it out, clip it out, and keep it near you, put it in your Bible. Maybe you could pray it. But as I said before, what people are really hungry for is not more talk about God, but more experience of God. And we go to God in prayer. Perhaps you can come up with your own prayer. I love that verse in the song that CFX sang, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here in this place. For me, it's a song. If I can find a song that, first of all, I can sing, and then remember, I'll go through the day and I'll sing this song. And it'll help me to focus on what I need to focus on. This is a song that I'm going to use. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Sing it with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Today is communion. And as you receive communion today, what makes us different as Christians is we see things in a different way. And when we see the bread and we see the juice, we see the visible presence of a living God loving us through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you need to experience God's love for you today? God is here and now with us to express His love. Let me extend the invitation for communion. Come to the Lord's table, all of you who love Him. Come to the Lord's table, confess your sin. Come to the Lord's table, be at peace. We have not believed you or trusted in your power. Lord, help our unbelief. We have stained our souls by our action and inaction. Cleanse us, Lord. We are broken by disease, bruised by the sins of others, weakened and unable to repair ourselves. Heal us, Lord. We ignore your call to center our lives in you, and so are deaf to the hopes and cries of the poor, the sick, the needy, and the earth. Ground us, Lord. When we confess our sinful ways, God abundantly pardons. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, you are all forgiven. Glory to God. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to praise you, O God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is praised among all peoples. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with your people on earth and all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, Almighty One. Blessed are you, Jesus Christ. In the power of the Spirit, you created all things. Bless them and call them good. You called to yourself a people to make your mercy and truth known in all the world. We betrayed your calling. You were faithful. We wandered from the way. You called us to return and led us home. And still we turned away from your ways, abused your creatures, and made ourselves slaves to sin and death. At the right time, you came and dwelt among us as one of us, bringing good news to the poor, healing the sick, raising the dead, sharing table with the unrighteous, and teaching the way that leads to life. By your incarnation, life, suffering, and execution, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery, made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit, and received us and all your saints to yourself in glory everlasting. On the night of your betrayal, Lord Jesus, you took bread. Blessed, broke it, and gave it to your disciples and said, "Take, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You did the same with the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out is the new covenant in my blood." Blessed Trinity, in remembrance of all you have done to save us, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has come among us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ abides with us. Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Make these gifts the body and blood of Christ. Make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Abba, Father, let your kingdom come. Glory to you. Glory to you. Come, Lord Jesus, be our daily bread. Glory to you. Glory to you. Holy Spirit, send us to the world. Glory to you. Holy Blessed Trinity, one God forever. Glory to you. Glory to you. Now join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.